The text for our meditation on God's holy word today, Pentecost Sunday, is Psalm 25. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, is there such a thing as a dangerous prayer? Is there such a thing as a dangerous prayer? Well, I think the short answer to that question is, all praying is dangerous. All praying is dangerous. There's only one thing more dangerous than praying. What is it? Not praying. Not praying. But all praying is dangerous because you're saying to the Lord, here's the situation. Here it is. There you go. And even more so, by that definition, what's the most dangerous prayer of them all? Thy will be done. Because you're really saying to the Lord, I'm done with this. This is in your hands now. My hands are off the wheel. I'm not adjusting this turn signal. I'm not pressing the brake, not the gas, not even turning on the radio. It is you, Lord. It is in your good and gracious hands. Dangerous prayer. Thy will be done. On the other hand, all praying, all Christian praying, that is safe because of whom you're addressing. You're saying to the Lord, there you go, Lord. There you go. It's in your hands. And of course, by that definition, the safest prayer of them all is what? Thy will be done. Hardest prayer, most dangerous prayer, and also the safest prayer of them all, because it's really done now. It is in the hands of God. You say to him, there you go. Well, today's Psalm 25, is a prayer, most of it. Some of it's just a description of God's saving acts, but most of it's a prayer. And what is said in that prayer? This is what the psalm writer says. He says, Lord, cause me to know your paths. Not my paths, not the world's paths, not the devil's paths. Cause me to know your paths. Your ways, Lord, teach me. Cause me, and this is rather literal, cause me to tread, like your feet stomping, cause me to tread in your truth and teach me. Why? Because you are the God of my salvation, and for you I have waited all the day. All right. So what is dangerous about that prayer? What is dangerous about it? What it sounds like simply is a request of Almighty God. And you're saying to him, Lord, I want you to take me with you on a journey. Take me with you on a journey, Lord, from slavery in Egypt to the promised land, to life eternal together with you and everything, every step of the way. Now, what's dangerous about that prayer? What is dangerous about it? Well, if you look at the history books, you'll recognize that some believers before you prayed that prayer, take us out of Egypt and take us where? To the promised land. That's what they prayed. And what happened? What happened when they prayed? It was dangerous because their journey took them where? Out in the desert. Way out into the desert, a place where people were not designed to live, a place where people aren't able to live. And the Lord said, now, I want you to remember what I did here. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Love this passage. Quoted it many times to you. You know the passage. The Lord says, you shall remember now all the way which the Lord your God has led you, all his paths, all of his ways. The Lord your God has led you in the wilderness how long? 40 years. He led you in the wilderness 40 years that he might humble you and test you to know what was actually in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. The Lord humbled you, and he let you be hungry, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. Not what goes into your mouth, but what proceeds from the Lord's mouth. The Lord was causing you to know something, to know him. Years back now, I remember sitting in my study and I was talking with one of our vicars that we had years ago. Student pastors did their internship here at St. Peter. We had a number of them. And I remember saying to him, you know, as a pastor, you need to study. This room is called a study. Why? Because you need to study. You need to study God's holy word. You don't say, well, I graduated from seminary. I'm done with that. If you went to a doctor, and the doctor said, yeah, I graduated from medical school 40 years ago, and I haven't opened a book since then, what would you say? I don't think so. What do we want any less from somebody who gives us something even more important, the word of God? You need to study. You need to come to know the voice of the Lord and his word. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And I can still remember our vicar saying to me, yeah, but why should I study? If I want to know something, I'll just Google it. I'll just Google it. Nowadays we'd say what? I'll just AI it, right? And when you look up a Bible verse on your computer, what does it do? Well, AI says this is the way that it is. All right. But is that faith? Is faith what you know? Or is faith who you know? Who you know. Coming to know the Lord as year after year after year the Lord deals with you, as you hear his holy word, as you grow in the grace and knowledge of your Savior Jesus Christ, whether you're a preacher or not, that's true for every single Christian person. And so you got today's psalm. It's very interesting, verse 5. The psalm writer says, Lord, and this is literal rendering of it. He says, cause me, in other words, make this happen. Cause me to tread in your truth and teach me. Now, tread is an interesting word, isn't it? It doesn't say, cause me to skip through your word. It doesn't say, cause me to walk through your word. It says, cause me to tread, like heavy footsteps. The Hebrew word is describing what you do when you wear a path. And you know what that's like if you go to a public park and the sidewalk goes this way and then it goes this way. That's not the shortest way between two points, is it? So if you want to get there in a hurry, what do? You stay on the sidewalk? No, you cut across the grass. A lot of people have done it. How do you know? Because they have tread through it and over again, and finally there is a path. Lord, cause me to tread in your truth and teach me. Cause me to wear out a path when it comes to your truth. Cause me to go over the same ground over and over again until I hear you, until I know you, until I trust you, until I look to you, until I find out what faith is about, because faith is not what you know, it's who you know. Who you know. Cause me to tread over and over again. Now, what happened to the children of Israel in the desert? What happened? If they wanted to go from Egypt to the promised land, the easiest way was to take a straight shot, straight across, and in about a week, they would pretty much be there in the promised land. Instead, it took how long? 40 years. Now, either the good Lord didn't know what he was doing, or maybe they didn't know what he was doing, but the scripture reminded them. The Lord your God has led you. He led you in the wilderness these 40 years that he might humble you and so that you might know that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Now, any Christian person can testify to the same thing. I thought this was going to be quick, Lord. I thought we'd have it all figured out. But the journey we're going on is not quick. And we're going to places that I'm not sure we're able to live there, Lord. I'm not sure how we're able to function there, how we're going to be able to make things go. But once again, you humble us, you test us to know what's in our hearts, whether we keep your commandments or not, so that we might know that we don't live on bread, but we live on every word that comes from your mouth. And the Lord did this to do for what purpose? He did it to show what's in your heart. So he could see it, and also that you could see it. And we know it was in the people of Israel's heart. When they went on their journey, they liked it when the Red Sea parted. They liked it when they started going toward the promised land, but they didn't like what? They didn't like the 40 years. And they didn't like the desert. And they didn't like being helpless. And they didn't like because they seemed to keep going over the same ground again and again and again. But it showed what was in their heart. And so also for the psalm writer. What does the psalm writer tell us? Psalm 25. He knew what was in his heart. He looked in the mirror and he said, "Lord, remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways." Now let's do an opinion poll. Let's do a poll here. I'd like you to raise your hand if you ever had sins in your youth and rebellious ways. Is this a United? Okay. We've all been there, right? We all have to go that way. The only way to get old and smart is to be young and dumb, right? You've got to go there first. My rebellious ways. But you know, if you can look it in the face and you can say, "Lord, this is where I've been. And even to this day, there's still a fool in my heart. I got to admit it. I don't care how old I am. There's still a fool that doesn't look to you. But Lord, be merciful to me. I look to you. I look to your kindness. I look to your love. I look to your pardon in Jesus." And so it is that as a child of God, you never have to stop. You never stop saying, "Excuse me, Lord, remember not my sins." But you always say, "Lord, today's psalm, according to your love, remember me. According to your son, remember me. According to your mercy, remember me. According to your pardon, remember me. According to your cleansing, remember me. According to your washing, remember me. According to your cross, remember me." What did that fellow say who was close to the Lord Jesus in his death? He said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Who in all of that scene had wisdom? Nobody except the thief on the cross. And of course the centurion too, who said, "Surely this was the Son of God." But Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Because if you know that, then you can say, "Yes, Lord, teach me your paths. Teach me your wisdom," that's true. "Teach me your commandments," that's true. But those are secondary lessons. Those aren't the core. The core is what? You're a sinner. But there is a Savior for you. There is one hope for a person like you. "Lord, you are the God of my salvation, and for you I have waited all the day." All the day. And so, the Lord guides you in the right way. The Lord commands what is just and right and healthy and good. That's all true. But more than that, the Lord deals with you in mercy. The Lord deals with you in kindness and in love. He deals with you through the cross. He deals with you through holy baptism, because holy baptism is not what you did for God, it's what he did for you. The Lord deals with you in Holy Communion, because it's not something you're offering to God. It's not a mass that we're giving to God. No, it is God's grace shown to us. And in all of that, the Lord's taking you to a goal. Jesus said, "It's also that where I am, you also might be." Now that's a God you can wait for. That is a God you can pray to and say, "Lord, thy will be done." I can let go of the steering wheel on this one. I can take my foot off the gas, take my foot off the brake, no turn signal, turn off the radio. It's in your hands. I can pray to you, "Lord, teach me your ways." It's all in your hands. That's a God I want to know. And that's the God to whom I can say every single day, "I will wait for you all day long. I will wait for you, for you are the God of my salvation." And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.